Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Manning takes the snap. Looking left. Now starts to get out of the pocket. Fires down the field. Picked off. Intercepted by Brandon Merriweather at the 40. Play action fake by Manning. Shooting it long and deep. And intercepted on the near side at the 41-yard line by Devin McCourty. Manning in the shotgun formation. First and 10, Indianapolis. Direct snap to Manning. Back to throw. Fires it to the right. Could be picked off. It is! Intercepted by James Sanders at the 6-yard line.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another sterling edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. What a show we're going to have for you today. It's going to be a lot of me and you, or you and me, a lot of that stuff. I'm going to save my guests and everything else for tomorrow, my picks and all that stuff. I'm going to have a special show tomorrow from noon to 2, from noon to 2 p.m. You want to check that out. But today, it's all about you guys. I am all about you. I'm here for you. And I want to hear from many of you, as many as possible, at Patriots.com. Again, you can call the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, or email me here at webradio@patriots.com. And also have my Facebook page open, all right? If that's easier for you, again, no private messages, please, because it's too much of a pain in the ass to get to them. So just post it on my wall. I'll refresh and read as many as I can, I promise. But let's talk about the National Football League. Wow. Vince Young, despite his thumb mutation, Davin Hurd was asked to leave the Titans facility yesterday, believe it or not. But let's get right into the Patriots Indianapolis game. So it was just a fantastic game to watch. As I thought it would come down to the wire, I thought the Patriots win by a touchdown. They won by three. But I'm going to tell you guys something right off the bat here. I've done a little bit of research. I do mean little. I don't have the lackeys that some of the other people have around here, but... I did some research, and I'm going to tell you this, is that I know if you look at pure numbers, and I talk about this all the time about the Patriots' defense, and just about anybody else's defense, too, for that matter, the National Football League, I don't give a bleep what happens in between the 20s. I care about red zone offense and red zone defense. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, and girls, why... this Patriots defense. And by the way, I saw Tom Curran earlier. I'm staying down here tonight at Patriot Place at the Radisson. And I saw Tom Curran earlier, my old friend from radio and TV. And of course, he does a great job on Comcast Sportsnet. And we both agreed that it just, this, the way the yardage looks and the way people are talking about, I know they put up the stats, worst defense in Patriots history, all that stuff. I'm telling you, it's garbage. Garbage. Don't believe it. Don't fall for it. And that's why I tell you all the time about net numbers. Net yardage in the NFL doesn't mean diddly poo. It just doesn't. And let me give you examples why. Okay. Now, before I do that, as I interrupt myself, I'm very good at that. I am not here proclaiming that this team is one. This team has one of the best defenses in the league. Okay. I am not saying they're the 85 Bears. I'm not saying they're the 75 Bears. I'm not saying any of that stuff. All I'm saying is I know on paper like they're ranked last in the league against the pass, and I'm telling you the numbers are skewed. And most of you know the reasons why. But all I'm saying is this defense is probably around the middle of the pack overall, and they're getting better. They are getting better. And just for the little things like Cunningham done pass rush, that forced that interception. That's why Peyton threw that pick, is because Cunningham got to him, or just, got to him pretty close. Almost nailed him, almost nailed his arm, and just got enough of him to disrupt his timing a little bit, which allowed Sanders to make that pick. But it's little things like that. People are saying, this team has no pass rush. This team can't do this. They can't defend. They can't do any of it. It's garbage. Now, I know at times that they look like they can't do that, but let me tell you the reasons why, okay? In six of their eight wins, they're now 8-2. Six of them, okay? Remember this. New England versus Cincy, okay? They're up by four touchdowns in that game. Against Miami, They won the game by 27. In the second half, they were blowing them out. Up by 2, 3, 4 touchdowns through most of that second half. Against San Diego, third quarter, they're up by 17. Okay? Versus Minnesota, double-digit lead again in the second half. All right? I know they didn't get that. They didn't score till late to make it a double-digit lead, but they were ahead in the second half. Against Pittsburgh, you all know what happened there. Blowout city. All right? They won by 13. They were up again by 3 touchdowns in that game. Versus Indy, again, up by 17 points in the second half. You have to take all this into consideration, people. In 6 of their 8 wins, they're up by double digits to 4 touchdowns in the second half of these games. Now, that doesn't mean you can't fault them for some of their prevent defense, okay? But I am telling you, they're playing a lot of zone in the second half because they have huge leads. So the numbers are skewed. Ben Roethlisberger put up huge numbers. Peyton Manning threw 3 times, twice as many passes as Brady did because they're down by 17 points. So, of course, the numbers are going to be skewed. And I'm telling you, if you look at the numbers with the Patriots' defense, when the score is tied or they have trailed, you will find it to be a much different scenario than when they have these 2 and 3 touchdown leads. Look it up. Look at the numbers. Look at what they've done on defense. A perfect example of that is the Baltimore game. Look at the numbers in the second half. They were phenomenal. And in overtime, what did Baltimore go? 8 possessions and 3 and out? I mean, some ridiculous number. Not 8 possessions, but I think they had 5. 4 or 5. That game came right down the wire. The defense held its own. You got to take all this out. And I'm telling you, go back and look at the games. Really seriously, go back. You can look at the play-by-play. You can look at the defensive numbers. Look at the numbers when this team is tied or behind or the game is less than 10 points. You will see a tremendous difference in the numbers as opposed to when they have 2, 3, and 4 touchdown leads and 6 of these 8 wins. I'm so sick and tired of hearing the defense sucks. No, it's not a great defense. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not this horrific thing. They throw these numbers up on net yardage. I'm telling you, it's a joke. It is a freaking joke. You can see this team. Now, yes, they rely on a lot of big plays, the interceptions and all that stuff. But they have done a fairly good job against the run this year for the most part. Again, the Cleveland game was a brain fart, a big hiccup. We all know. I throw that game out. That was an aberration. That's not going to happen again the rest of the year. I'd be shocked if it did. I shouldn't say never when it comes to the National Football League, but I'm telling you, you can see the way this defense is coming together. I mean, you can just see it. You see the little thing. Mayo's having a phenomenal year. Cunningham has been, he's drafted in the 7th round, for crying out loud. He's making an impact on this team. McCourty, we all know what he's been doing. They have done a pretty good job, better than a pretty good job, damn it. This is a pretty good defense. It's not as bad as these stupid net yardage stats and all these national pundits would allow you to believe. It's not that horrible. And people keep saying, oh, you know, the Patriots defense is not that good. It's not that good. Because they've had 2, 3, 4 touchdown leads in 6 of these 8 wins. That's why. It'd be one thing if they were in legitimate battle shootouts every single week back and forth. That'd be a different story. But they're not. They started off the game on Sunday against Indy. What did they do? What did Indy do the first possession? Guess what? 3 and out. 3 and out. So, please, just don't be Jedi mind tricked by the national media thinking the Patriots defense sucks so bad, because it doesn't. And all you've had to do is watch this team when they have... through most of the season to realize that they don't. And I'm telling you, your homework assignment tonight, go back and look at the Patriots defense numbers, what they do when the game is tied or when they trailed, which hasn't been a lot, by the way. Now, again, the Cleveland game, again, that game was awful. But the rest of these numbers, a lot of these offensive numbers that have been put up against them, particularly on the passing yardage side of things, are skewed because these teams have been getting their asses kicked by the Patriots. Late in games, they're down.
Sandwich.
Now, that's not bad enough. How about this? In case you missed this, here's I forget the Colts announcers' names, but they are the whiniest little bitches you've ever heard in your life. I mean, you talk about a wine and cheese party. I gave you the Indianapolis Colts radio broadcast team. I say again.
It dumped out on me, Pete. I'm sorry.
It dumped out on you.
iTunes is being a pain in the neck.
Oh, all right. Well, let me know when you have it. But I don't know if you guys have played it at all, any of the shows this week, but they are just whiny, and they've done it all. I mean, you've heard the calls of these guys, and I should know their names by now. I forget. They're almost as bad as the knuckleheads in Miami. You know, Joe Rose and those other guys. They are just awful down there. Absolutely awful. But, so that's my, you know, John Rook does a little nitpick. That's my nitpick of the week. And you know, and I gotta tell you, it is so aggravating. On Sundays. I mean, do you sit there like I do? I start in the morning with NFL Network, you know, which I love and everything. But to have to listen to Michael Irvin try to analyze anything. And, you know, and he's talking about, of course, all the shows were doing the big, stupid, dumbass debate of Brady Manning Brady. Flip a coin, everybody. They are two great quarterbacks, period. Flip a coin. They each would do well and the other team's quote unquote system. If I hear that again, I'm going to freaking lose it. My head's going to explode. Where do these people come from, like Michael Irvin, who talk about Brady and the system, and that if he were anywhere else, he wouldn't be have the numbers he puts up? Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. The guy had Rashay Caldwell as a top receiver and went to the freaking AFC Championship game, would have won the damn Super Bowl had they not had the seventh-string linebackers on the field at the end of that game, for crying out loud. It is just absolutely aggravating to me. Michael Irvin talking about why he'd take Peyton Manning over Tom Brady because of the system the Patriots are in. That he's not sure that because Matt Castle did so well, that was the telling point for him because Matt Castle almost led the team to a playoff. Matt Castle was what that was about coaching. And yes, part of the system, yes, but Matt Castle was much different the last four games of the season compared to the first four games. Very much so.
I get the names of your two friends here.
Yeah, what are the names?
It's Bob that's right. Lamey.
Bob Lamey.
And Will Wolford.
Yeah, Bob Lamey.
And it's kind of funny, Pete, because I have my little black book here with all the media members from the NFL.
Yeah.
And these are probably like the only two guys I've come across that don't give their information, their contact information.
Really? Well, we have the cut?
We have the cut.
All right, here are the whiny bitches from Indianapolis.
Again, Manning with Brown to his right out of the shotgun. Blair White in the slot to the left. Peyton takes the snap again, sets up, has time, throws, and oh, there better be a flag on me. Oh, my goodness. There is no flag even on that one. That is incredible. That is incredible. Blair White was pushed before the ball ever got there. Third down and three.
In the words of Archie Bunker, shut up, you.
That was worth waiting for. Anyway.
I mean, what? I mean, Jesus. I mean, I remember the calls from the AFC Championship game, and there was one where they go, they practice all week. They practice all week for that. And the refs blew it. No, the refs didn't blow it. Your team was in illegal formation in practice during the whole week, and Tony Dungy, Mr. Mastermind, screwed it up. All right? It was an illegal formation from the get-go, so it was either poorly coached or poorly executed. I'll never forget that one. They practiced it all week.
That
they practiced
is classic.
Remember that? Remember that
classic.
Do we have that anywhere? Somewhere? You might as well have
that
somewhere.
You can try to locate it.
If you can try to locate it, that is one of the best Indianapolis whiny bitch calls you'll ever hear. But they are absolutely brutal down there. Brutal. As far as that team goes, and you know, and Peyton Manning, and the protection, the on-air protection that he gives them. Of course, I can at least admit at times, certain times when this team has not played well. I mean, you go to the Cleveland game; there's no excuses. Last year, there were a few times that Tom threw some horrible interceptions in games that they would have won. This year, especially the last four or five games, with the exception of again Cleveland. This team, there is something special happening here, folks. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, there is something special happening here. This is a real good football team. They are coming together. And again, Michael Irvin, listening to him on the NFL Network on Sunday, is like somebody forcing your eyelids open and dumping hot sauce in them. You know, it's just brutally painful. Painful. You know, I stuck my head in the door and slammed it three times just to snap myself back into reality. where these guys, and he's not the only one. He's not the only one. There are some other, there's some people around the league that I just, I say it every week. I just find it amazing. I don't know if they just, they say it because they say things to be controversial on purpose and they don't really believe it. They try to be the fake contrarian as so many around the New England media do at times, to be fake, to try to get a reaction, even when they don't believe it. And trust me, it happens. It doesn't happen with me, but it happens. I don't get it. But it frustrates the hell out of me when I hear people like Michael Irvin talk about how Tom Brady only succeeds in the Patriots because of the system. You can put Tom Brady on the worst team right now in the NFL, and I promise, put him on the Detroit Lions. Put him on the Buffalo Bills. The Bills would be better. Now, I'm not saying he's going to take him into the, take that team like that into the playoffs, but Tom Brady on the Buffalo Bills makes them an incredibly better team right off the bat, just for the simple, of his smarts, football smarts, and his natural ability. And Peyton Manning, the same thing. You put Peyton Manning or Tom Brady on any teams in the NFL, and they are automatically better. I can appreciate both players. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect, obviously, for Tom, as everybody knows, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Peyton Manning. They are both great football players. Why can't we just say that and be done with it? This whole thing about who's this, that, and better. But now, are there certain times? I mean, Peyton Manning has, they both had beautiful throws, many beautiful throws on Sunday. Both of them. So they were both great on Sunday. No problem. And the reason why Peyton's numbers were higher, including the interceptions, by the way, is because he threw twice as many passes because they're down by 17 points. Okay? All right? Okay. So your homework assignment is, once again, if you don't believe me, go look at the Patriots' numbers on defense when the game is tied or they're behind, and you will find a significant difference as to opposed when they're ahead by 2, 3, and 4 touchdowns, as they have been for most of their 6 to 8 wins, six out of the 8 wins they've had this year. And that's why I get upset when people start talking about and nationally saying that this is the worst Patriots defense of all time. It's not. It's not. How they don't have a pass rush. That's another lie. How they never have a pass rush. That's another lie. Go watch the Steelers. Go watch the second half of the Baltimore game. Watch the Steeler game. Watch the second half of the Indy game. Parts of it. Cunningham at the end. People want to totally, they go crazy over sack numbers. If the sacks aren't there, they don't think they have a pass rush. Wrong. It's little things like Cunningham, what he did yesterday on Sunday. Getting to him almost at the last second and forcing him to throw that interception, just interrupting him just enough so Sanders could get over there and make that play. Those are the little things that do not show up in the damn papers. That's a pass rush. Just because he didn't get a sack doesn't mean it wasn't there. Now, again, I'm not talking about the 86 Giants or the 85 Bears on defense. Not by a long shot, but I'm telling you, this defense is a lot better than they are getting credit for. I'm offended by it. People talk about, I'm so damn mad when people start talking about this team not having a defense. It's frustrating. They play zone for half a game, for 3/4 of their wins, for crying out loud, because of the touchdown leads they've had. So in the words of Tom Hagen talking to Sonny, so do me a favor. Take that into consideration. All right. Let me read some of these emails here. Actually, I should take a break. Let me take a quick break and a reset. When I come back, I'm going to get right to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. I promise I'm going to get to all the emails. There's a lot of them already, and I'm going to get to the ones on Facebook as well. And we're also going to hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, their press conferences today. That's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show. We're here until 6 on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
And welcome back to Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Again, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me. I got my Facebook page open, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Lynn says, hey, Pete, I totally agree with you. The Pats defense is good. Who cares about the stats? They get the big play when we need it, and most of the time they win. Also, you made a mistake on the Colts' first drive on Sunday. Merriweather picked Manning. But that's right. That's right. Merriweather picked Manning. My bad. You're right. Was that the first drive? Was it the first drive? It was the first drive. That's right. Merriweather picked Manning. You're right. Manning's had so many picks against the Patriots, especially in this place. I lose track of them all.
Speaking of picks, Pete. Both Manning brothers had three picks on Sunday.
I know.
Isn't that something else?
They're on the same cycle, obviously. John says, I hear what you're saying, Pete, about the Pats D and their performance in close games versus games where they're up by three touchdowns, but you can't tell me that you were confident at the end of the game last week with Manning driving down the field in the fourth quarter after the defense let them back into the game. Their ability to close out teams at the end of games, I feel, is a real concern going forward. Your thoughts? Well, first of all, I don't care what defenses the Patriots have had over the years. They've had some good ones. When Peyton Manning has the ball and he's across the 50-yard line driving down the field, it worries me all the time. It doesn't matter what team he's playing against or what defense is out there. So, yeah, I mean, you're always going to have concerns. But he's had his try. I mean, I know the last five of the six games for the most part, you know, well, now five out of seven, that he's had the Patriots' number.
I think there are a lot of Patriots fans hoping to see Vinatieri come out and do this.
Adam marks it off. He gets ready. Justin Snap is there. The snap. The ball is down. The kick is on its way. It's good. It's good.
Oh,
it's good.
No,
wait a minute.
No,
he said no good. No good. We missed it. I'm sorry. We missed it.
Idiot.
How about that call?
Idiot.
I didn't think he did like that.
Just wait for the referee to signal, then you make the call as you present the kaleidoscope of erotic images regarding the Indianapolis Colts. But here's the thing, too, John, is that their ability to close out teams at the end of games. I mean, see, that's look at the scores with this team. Okay, they closed. They won in overtime against Baltimore. Pittsburgh, they won by 13. They killed the Dolphins in Miami. They killed the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Peyton Manning against the Patriots, as is Tom Brady against the Colts. I think you have to cut both defenses a little bit of slack because you got two of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game going at you. The Chargers are up by 17 late in that game. The team's 8-2. Whatever it is, it's working. It's working. As long as they have this quarterback and that coach, I'm just telling you, this defense is not even close to as piss poor as some national pundits and locals are making it out to seem. It just isn't. Now, do they have some holes? Yeah, I mean, you know, they do. But this, when people say that they have, when they speak in absolutes, that's what aggravates me. When they say they have no pass rush, the secondary's weak, they can't close out games, any of the game. You know, there's a lot of different things that people use. In absolutes. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, by the way, the injury report is out. Tom Brady did not practice today. Nor did Stephen Neal, nor did Jonathan Wilhite. Did not participate. Mike Wright did not participate.
And Brady was limited yesterday.
And Brady was limited. But yesterday was a walkthrough. So that's,
and we were kind of discussing how are you limited in a walkthrough? Yeah. Is he in a wheelchair?
Well, yeah, maybe. Jared Page, Myron Pryor, Fred Taylor, also limited participation today. For the Lions, Jason Hansen didn't participate. He's hurt still. Also, you have Lawrence Jackson, defensive end. He's out of concussion. Tony Scheffler, good tight end. He's got a rib injury. He didn't participate. Matthew Stafford, who's been healthy for like four or five games this year, he's out. Didn't participate. Corey Williams didn't participate. Limited. Jabbard Best, Cliff Averill, Dylan Grandy, Sean Hill. He participated, full participation. So it's going to be an interesting game come Thursday, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I'll talk about that game as well because, I mean, the Lions have had – you talk about buzzards luck, whatever you want to determine. They have had some buzzards. This team, this Lion team, could easily be a 500 team, easily be a 500 team. You know, they lost the Phillies by three, the Eagles by three, 35-32. They lost to the Packers by two. You know, they should have beat the Jets. They really should have beat the Jets. That was kind of a brain fart coaching by Jim Schwartz in that one. If you remember, he had, I think the third string quarterback was throwing a pass late in the game where they should have been running the ball and run the clock out. Detroit should have absolutely won that game. So they've had some tough luck. I mean, the Dallas game last week was, you know, they were ahead at halftime of that game before they got, they just reverted back to the line. But they have been involved in a lot of close games. This is not going to be any kind of a cakewalk for the Patriots on Thursday. I can promise you that. And the last time they played in 2002 was really an ugly win down there. It was the 20-12 win. That was an ugly win. I think, but the Lions have the worst rush defense in the league. Again, by those net yardage numbers that I speak out against so much. But, you know, I've seen them play, you know, a couple of times via the Red Zone channel, which is the greatest invention, by the way, in television history. I mean, I know people talk about it all the time. But the Red Zone channel is just, it's just unbelievable how much fun it is. To watch that when the Patriots go to commercial break or whatever, or particularly on the 1 o'clock games on Sunday, you just throw that on and you don't even care what the other games are on Fox or CBS locally. You don't care because you're seeing the best parts of the game. It's just a phenomenal invention. If you don't have it, I strongly suggest if you're a football fan, get it. It is just unbelievable. And, you know, for me, it's different for me because I did the Patriots postgame show on the radio for, you know, 11 years. So I never had a chance to really watch games with my friends a lot anymore or I didn't need the Red Zone channel. I didn't need the NFL ticket or all that stuff because I was always down here watching the games here. So I need that stuff. So it's I have a blast just watching the games with friends every Sunday now. And this past Sunday, actually, was by myself, just me and the playing some online poker and watching the 1 o'clock games of the Red Zone channel, just one zipping the long way. It is just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Speaking of NFL Network, Pete, I have that little ditty from the AFC title game if you want to take a listen.
Oh, yeah. This is from 03?
Yeah, it's actually from NFL Network.
Yeah,
and a little special they did on it. It's about a minute long.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's play. This is whiny bitch cut number -2A from Bob LeMay, who is the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm sure I've never met the man. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but this is I'm telling you what, you might want to get a nail and push it into your skull with a hammer when you hear this.
With under a minute left, an offense that had played so conservatively tried a trick play.
37 seconds left. Now Peyton. Quick snap to Andrew and James. Andrew up the middle. They've got a flag down. Now he gets it all the way down to the 10-yard line. The crowd, now the Colts are screaming. That's not an illegal play. They've worked on it all week, and the officials blew it again. This is incredible. You can snap the ball with the quarterback moving up and down, and the Colts worked on it all week. It worked to perfection, and the flag came out. The Colts bench is irate, and they should be.
It is legal for a quarterback to go in motion after his hands are under center,
as
Manning did.
That's the set.
But once he goes in motion, he becomes an eligible receiver and must come to a stop prior to the snap.
That's right.
Manning did not stop before the snap, so the officials were correct in penalizing him.
Yep.
Booyah.
Which, they should have known that.
Game, set, match right there.
Yeah.
Bob LeMay should have known that.
They practiced it all week. Ooh.
That was a great call. I hadn't heard that until I just found it.
Mike on Facebook says, Pete, if the Pats don't have at least 4 sacks Thursday, then they don't have a pass rush. That's the kind of comment I'm talking about. That's absolutely absurd, Mike. No offense. Thanks for the comment. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. See, they had a pass rush at the end of the game with Cunningham. He's the one, probably the big reason why Manning threw that interception. Not a sack, but there was a pass rush there. That pass rush, I mean, both Manning and Brady were each sacked once, I believe, in that game. But the Patriots, at times, had a pass rush. Okay? They forced three interceptions from Peyton Manning. Is that because they had no pass rush? You can't, but that's the kind of comment, Mike. It doesn't make any sense to me when you say that. Is there some, is that the measurement? If they don't get 4 sacks in every game, that it's a, then it's, they have no pass rush? Doesn't work that way in the NFL. Steven says, Pete is the D on Facebook. Pete, is the D all smoke and mirrors, and are you concerned that they will be exposed in the playoffs? Well, no, it's not. Again, it's not all smoke and mirrors. I don't understand where this comes from, smoke and mirrors. Was it smoke and mirrors when Merriweather picked off Manning the first series of the game? Or when Sanders did it at the end, was that smoke and mirrors? Or was it how the Patriots had stopped the Colts for much of the game until the end, up by 17 points when they had, a 17-point lead in that game? Was that smoke and mirrors? Was it smoke and mirrors when they clobbered Miami in Miami? Was it smoke and mirrors when they clobbered the Steelers in Pittsburgh? Was it smoke and mirrors when they blasted the Cincinnati Bengals on opening day here? I mean, are we just trying too hard to come up with stuff? Again, we're not talking about this team having a great defense. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But it is much better than they're getting credit for. The Jets have been involved in a lot of nip-and-tuck games. The Patriots haven't. Patriots have killed teams. They've been up big in a lot of these games. Big difference. The Jets have been in nip and tuck games the whole way. And I got to tell you that for what they've vaunted big time number one defense and whatever you want to talk about, I'm not overly impressed with them by a long shot. Well, they're good. They're good defense. Are they better defense than the Patriots? overall? Probably. They were in the second half of week two here, but week two was a long time ago. You know, I mean, the Texans blew that game on Sunday. They had that game won. After being, you know, after getting killed in that game, they came roaring back on that supposed great Jet D. The Jets almost lost to the Lions. They should have lost to Cleveland. But they didn't. So you got to give them credit. They pulled out the play. Sanchez, to me, Sanchez really might be this most biggest surprise. I just did not think he was going to develop the way he has. But you got to give you got to give him credit. You got, I hate to do it, but you got to give Sanchez credit for some of the for some of the big time throws he's come up with late in games this year.
You're right, Pete. The Giants could, or the Jets, excuse me, could be 5-5
easily
with a little bit of luck easily. Going the other way
easily. But they're not, and that's also a sign of a good team when they can win games like that while not playing at their best. But the Patriots are 8-2. The Jets are 8-2. You are what you are. That's what they are.
And if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
That's right. Crown their ass. I'm not crowning anybody anything yet. But you have to be overall, you've got to be impressed overall with this Patriots team as a team. You can't, it's tough. I think people try around here way too hard to go out of the way to try to find nitpicky type things. And the problem is that they never apply those same standards to the rest of the National Football League. It's almost like the Patriots have these issues, even though they're 8-2, but none of these other teams have issues. They all have issues. I think the Patriots have a lot less issues than a lot of teams. And parts about being exposed in the playoffs, exactly when will this defense get exposed in the playoff? After they've blown a team out by 2 and 3 touchdowns again and then give up 10 points in the fourth quarter and still win by 3-10 points? Hey, if that's getting exposed, let them get exposed. All I care about is the W at the end of the game. If they're going to be up by, you know, 3, 10, 13, 20, 24 points in the game, fine. If they win the game by 3 or 1 or 10, it doesn't matter to me. Just get the win. As far as them being involved in close games, again, I go back to the Baltimore game. You know, that was a close game. They were down by 10 in that one. Defense played great in the second half of that one. The only two times this year that the Patriots defense, obviously the Cleveland game was a complete debacle. That was a total debacle. And the second half of the Jets game, which was really a combination of Brady trying to cover for Randy Moss's emotions by throwing him the ball every single down and forget about the rest of the team. But that's not going to happen again. So you can take that week two game, as far as I'm concerned, and throw it right out the window, because when the Jets come here on December 6th and that Monday night, it's going to be a different game completely for both teams, to be honest with you. It's going to be much different. It'll be very competitive, and I'm sure that's another game that's going to come right down to the wire. And that'll be another game where I'll be stunned if either team jumps out to any kind of a double-digit lead. I think that'll be a nip-and-tuck game right down to the wire. So just if you're applying all these emotional high standards to the Patriots, make sure you do it to all these other teams. You know? You look at a team like the Raiders against the Steelers on Sunday. I mean, the Raiders should have been up in that game 21-0. But instead, they fumble the ball twice inside the 20 or inside the 25. Instead of being up by a couple of scores, or at least being up 10-0, they should have been up at least 10-0. All of a sudden, they're down because, for the first time, because they can't hang on to the football. So you want to talk about a team that has issues? The Raiders have issues. The Steelers have some issues. The Ravens have some issues. The Falcons have issues. The Eagles have issues, despite them playing very well with Michael Vick. You know, that was a kind of a debacle of a game on Sunday night. So all I'm saying is, are the Patriots perfect? No, they're not.
If anything, Eli gave them that game. Well, four turnovers.
Completely. Three. But I tell you what, even still, they had a chance at the end to win it.
Yeah, and then he fumbles.
Asante Samuel trying to run back the ball, fumbles.
What a dumb boneheaded play that was.
And then, everybody, was there an update on Ellis Hobbs recently?
I have to take a look. The last I heard that he had the use of all his extremities, but he was kind of pondering his future because you know, he's had two of these injuries now.
Yep.
And it was kind of, do I want to suit back up or do I want to play with my kids? That type of deal.
Well, it was very scary. And of course, you know, being a former Patriot that he was, I mean, you hate to see anybody go down, but especially somebody that's, you know a little bit that's played here. So again, email me, patriots.com. At webradio at patriots.com, or you can call the ace ticket hotline 508-543-7482. Okay, I'm saving most of my guests and everything for tomorrow. We're going to have the play-by-play voice for the Detroit Lions.
Dan Miller
will join us.
Probably in the first half an hour of the show.
Tomorrow. Again, I'll be on from noon to 2 tomorrow.
In the latest report, Pete, that came out today about 4 hours ago by CBS Sports, says that Ellis Hobbs is likely done for the year.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. And certainly it's a loss for the Eagles. And they're playing well. I mean, if you had a gun to my head right now to pick the Super Bowl, I'd say Patriots, Philadelphia. I don't think there's any question.
That's what I said about 3 weeks ago, and everyone was laughing at me.
Well, because you didn't know if Michael Vick was going to return.
I've stuck with it, and now it's starting to pay dividends.
Well, I think so. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. The Patriots are one of the four or five best teams in the league. There's no question about it. They are there. If they're not the best, they're right there. They've had the biggest road wins. They beat everybody except for the Jets, which I'm convinced they will beat them on when they play them here on that Monday night. A very close game, but I do expect the Patriots to win that game. Yeah. So I mean, what is it? What haven't they done? They clobbered the Dolphins in Miami when nobody thought they could win. Clobbered them. Some of us thought they would win. A lot of people didn't think they were going to win. They crushed the Steelers in Pittsburgh. They come from 10 down in the second half and beat the Ravens here in overtime. Defense was outstanding in that game, by the way. They're up by 17 against Peyton Manning in Indianapolis here. Win the game by 3. Make a great defensive play at the end of the game. Force 3 picks. Tom, no interceptions.
I was pissed off because I predicted 31-20, and when it was 31-21, I was hoping they'd just hold them.
You were close. I said 27-20, and I just thought it was
going to come. We were both in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was going to come right. I knew it would come right down to the wire. I don't care how banged up Indy is, and I don't want to hear that crap either about if they had their full arsenal, because the Patriots beat them in playoff games where they had 5 starters out, significant ones on defense, including Ty Law and Richard Seymour once in one game, and they still clobbered them. So I don't want to hear about what would have happened if the Indianapolis had everybody, please. That's enough of that stuff. Because I've seen it plenty of times with the Patriots, and they have overcome, adjusted, and adapted and won games, big games. But I like this character on this team. I like what we're, I like what I'm seeing overall. You have to be impressed overall with what you see. I know sometimes it gets a little, you know, nail biter down the end, but that's okay. You know what? Let them jump out the 10, 20, 24-point leads. Fine. If it's going to come down, if they're still going to win the game at the end by 3 to 10 points, I don't care. Just get the W. There are games this year that they're winning that they would not have won last year. Okay? But I think some of us, we are so spoiled, that we try too hard sometimes to try to find fault with this team. Again, I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they don't have issues. All I'm saying is every team has issues. This team has a lot less than a lot of other teams, some of the better teams as well. Eric says, Woodhead. Is this guy real or what, man? This guy is really something else. To see him play it is a pleasure. Okay, maybe too much, but this little cat has a lion heart. Keep up the good work, guys. Well, you're absolutely correct.
And how about a short little player?
I'm calling them the Lilliputian unit. And by that, I mean the big three, the big little three, which is Wes Welker, Deion Branch, and, yes, Danny Woodhead, who's just outstanding.
It's like the Smurfs.
And I'm telling you, I say it, if we're going to say it again, if you got HBO, go back and look at Hard Knocks, the last two episodes, and watch how difficult it was for Rex Ryan not to keep this guy. He must be killing himself now that he didn't. And I knew it then as I'm watching that show. I said, my God, please let this guy get cut. Let him come to the Patriots, because I knew if he got here, he would make an impact.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Exactly. Woodhead's bigger than is like a snack. But he
could have enjoyed him as a snack.
He could have. I mean, he is just amazing. I love watching him. He is all heart. And he has a talent, too. He's a talented kid.
And he's one of those great stories that can kind of, like,
energize
and uplift a team.
No question. And he has done that. I mean, that was the big question. When Kevin Falk went down, who was going to step in? And if you remember, I think it was the first week I was doing the show, maybe the second week, and I said, watch this kid, Danny Woodhead. I said, if he's anything like I saw, again, in practice film on the Jets on Hard Knocks, this kid might just be able to do it. And he just made an impact from day as soon as he stepped on the field.
And the microcosm of what Woodhead brings came when, you know, he makes the nice touchdown run and then makes that great tackle on special teams on the ensuing kickoff.
Phenomenal.
That is a microcosm. Is what Belichick, that is what he looks for.
Absolutely. Great point. And, again, the Lilliputian unit, Deion Branch, Wes Welker, and Danny Woodhead, out of Brady's 19 completions, they caught 16 of them, those three guys. 16 of them.
And I heard some talk yesterday, Pete, on some various sports talk radio stations about, well, what do you do next year? Is Falk going to try to get back? All this stuff.
Yeah.
And the way Woodhead's played, I don't see – there's no way that you can't keep him.
Oh, no. Especially, not to sound like the coach, but the best players will make the team.
Exactly. And with
the best players will make the team.
What stood out to me is watching the replay of that special teams tackle. Any guy that can play special teams as well as another position has a place on this team.
No question about it.
And Bill has made that known.
No question about it. It certainly helps. And he may not have taken Woodhead if he didn't think he could play special teams. Despite him being
a
terrific run back, I'm not sure Bill would have taken a chance on Woodhead if he didn't think he could play special teams.
I mean, look at the move they made this past week, getting rid of Crable and bringing Pierre Woods back, and Bill highlighted the fact that Pierre can play special teams.
That's right.
And that's pretty much the only reason he's here.
How about that for a story? He was a groundskeeper in Ann Arbor at Michigan. I mean,
it's another great story.
Unbelievable.
Hopefully he can chip in down the
he's
stretch
like,
here.
I don't know, what was he, trimming bushes and mowing lawn? I mean, he didn't want to collect unemployment. Trying to make a buck. I'm not sure what he, you know, not that he made a tremendous amount of money.
That
when he was
landscaping
here,
type work is, you know, pretty good for your physical endurance.
Yeah, it is. I don't know anything about it because I don't do that stuff. But I just paid somebody $250 to do my leaves.
There you go.
I'd say it was worth it. Oh, is it worth it? You have a lot of oak trees.
Hopefully they're all down. Yeah,
oak trees leaves are the
worst.
Used
to have to rake all those things. My old man out there puts a rake in my hand. And, yeah, have fun.
And you didn't get paid, I bet, either.
No.
But
I get to eat. And I get to sleep in a nice warm bed.
That's it. Boy, what a good son you are. Jeez, yeah. God, you are just terrific.
Brought up the blue collar way, Pete.
Oh, my goodness. All right, you know what we're going to do? Can we want to hear from Belichick before we go to break? How long is Bill's press conference today? 10 minutes? 10 minutes or so? Around there, give or take. Let's play. Before we go to break, We're going to hear from Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots. We're also going to hear next hour from Tom Brady and his press conference. And it is an interesting. It really is an interesting week. But it's also interesting. Tomorrow again, I'm going to have my 75th annual Gobble Show tomorrow, which we will have gobbles, and I'll give you all my stinky players and who gets the gobbles for the worst coaches and players and stuff like that. Exactly. You know, I
got them all ready for you, Pete.
I'm going to interrupt myself again and just say this. This is why I love doing this and have my own show, because I can interrupt myself. I can have my own go off on a little thing here. There was one guy in the NFL, and I've said it before, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. If Bill Belichick wasn't coaching this team, I would take Jeff Fisher in a heartbeat. What that guy has got to go through down there, what that idiot, that emotionally unstable wacko, Vince Young, who was asked to leave the facility yesterday, who took off his uniform and threw it in the stands, despite the fact, you know what? How dare Jeff Fisher, how dare you, sir, bench a guy with a busted thumb who's going to have season-ending surgery? Imagine the humanity of a head coach who wants to bench a quarterback because he can't throw. And this guy takes his uniform off and throws it in the stands. What a nut job. Go home to your mom. Go home to your mommy. Go home to mommy. Because that's how this guy is. He's done. He is done. I feel so bad for Tennessee and Jeff Fisher. That guy's a great guy, and he's a great coach. And to put up with that idiot down there, and it just frustrates the hell out of me to see that happen. So somehow, some way, he'll find a way to get that team in the playoffs. That was an ugly loss they had to Washington on Sunday. And it was all Vince Young. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Wants to play with a guy can have season-ending thumb surgery, can't grab the damn football, he wants to stay in the game. Oh, unbelievable. All right, before we go to break, let's check in with Bill Belichick early today down here at Gillette and his press conference.
All right, how are we doing this morning? Afternoon, whatever it is. We're just trying to, you know, scramble together here. Big day for us today in terms of our preparation, trying to get as much done as we can. You know, all the situations, we can't quite get them all, but we'll get as much as we can. And then a couple leftover things, try to tie those up tomorrow, and then, head to Detroit. So, you know, I think this game really is very unique. It's unlike any other game you play for, you know, a number of years, just the short preparation, how quick the turnaround is, basically no practice. We're just, you know, out there walking through some stuff today and jogging through it at a low tempo, and then, you know, just tee up and be ready to go on Thursday. So it's very unique and different for the players, for the coaches. Equal footing for both teams. I'm not saying that. It's just different. So, but you know, it's always good to play on Thanksgiving. I think it's great for great part of the holiday. It's good to be a part of it. So, you know, we're all looking forward to the game, but it's a tough one to get ready for.
How's this on the player? I mean, I guess every individual player is different, but how's it on their bodies? Can they be ready? What's the shortest amount of time they can be ready to play?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I don't know. I mean, you could talk to the players, and you're right, I'm sure it is different for each guy. It's a quick turnaround. And the good thing is, with every short week, it's a long week. So, where you go quick, then, you know, you have extra time. Where you have extra time, then somewhere along the line, you got to go quick. So, it all evens out in the end.
Bill, you used to back in the game where Arrington did a blitz sometimes. Is that something you kind of see in training camp? You know, you get to the quarterback fast in some of your quarters, and then you kind of process that information. Was that a case of that helping you last week?
When you do the drills in training camp, you have your linebackers blitz against your tight ends and running backs, and then somewhere along the line, you usually have your defensive backs blitz against your backs because they're involved in pickup, and you know you have different secondary blitzers. So you know, you kind of get a feel for who's got a natural feel for the blitz and who doesn't, as far as timing and technique and that kind of thing. So you know, guys that pressure well. You know, you have a tendency to bring them more frequently than, you know, guys that really, that's maybe not the strength of their game. Not saying you don't bring them too, but, you know, there's guys you want to bring, there's other guys that you bring because it's good for the scheme, but maybe they're not necessarily your best blitzers.
Look at Arrington, stuff that runs, is he going to be challenging Dendrick or Jerome?
Get him in there too, Captain. Yeah. We got to work on that.
One thing you've said about moving Vince around the line is that it forces other teams, at the very least, to prepare for it. So I guess, in the same sense, you're forcing the Lions to have to prepare for moving a defensive back, I guess, up front, too. So, I mean, do you get sort of a small victory in that way, too?
Yeah, I don't really know what they're preparing for. I doubt they're losing a lot of sleep over it, so I wouldn't. It's not like he had six sacks or anything. But you'd have to talk to them. I mean, I don't really know how they're looking at it. Maybe it's a problem for them. Maybe it isn't. I have no idea.
Could you talk about Devin McCourty a little bit, how he's been, especially as a rookie
for the level? Yeah, Devin's really been a consistent player for us all year. From the first rookie minicamp after the draft until all through the season, in the spring, the spring workouts, training camp, preseason. He's really the same guy every day. Very alert, attentive, very professional. You wouldn't know he's a rookie. He acts and prepares like he's been doing it for 5 or 6 years. He's very attentive. He understands a lot of little things. When you give him a coaching point, he understands it. In other words, it doesn't apply to everything. It mainly only applies to one particular situation or one little thing. But when that comes up again, then, you know, he's usually on it. So He's made a lot of improvement. I think he's, Josh has done a good job with him, of making him aware of things that can make him a better player. He's done a good job of working on those things and improving on them. We see him doing things now that he wasn't doing in October, see him doing things in September that he wasn't doing in August. And that's, it's a great feeling to have as a coach, but I think it's also, great for him as a player that he can see how much he's improved and his techniques have improved in man-to-man coverage, zone coverage, ball skills, reading the quarterback, tackling, leverage, all those things. And he's done a good job for us and continues to work hard and get better. So he's a great kid to coach. Glad he's on our team. Works hard on special teams. Whatever you ask him to do, he gives you his best every play, and that's worth a lot.
What do you think of the way Harris Bowler played the first time we've seen him in a while? Can you assess that position going forward?
We have confidence in all the guys that we put out there. I think Darius, did some good things. Wasn't perfect. But he's worked hard in practice, and I think he's improved on some things that maybe weren't quite the level he would want it to be at earlier in the season. And those have been showing up better in practice. I thought that he did some good things in the game. So, the key for him is to, keep working hard, stay focused, and pay attention to little details and the techniques and executing the defense. He has a lot of talent. He's a smart kid. But it's being able to apply it on the field and take those coaching points in practice and in the meetings and, make those part of the execution on the field and on Sundays or Thursdays.
Are you always curious how a guy will respond when he's removed from the lineup? Sure, go either way, right?
Well, our defense and offense, we have a lot of guys that are in some plays and out others in different packages and different substitution groups and so forth. We don't really worry a lot about that. Everybody's got different roles to play. Those roles change from game to game, from month to month, sometimes from year to year. And that's part of playing a team sport. Everybody can't dot the I,
Bill, is balance one of the goals of the offense? Now you're going to say scoring points is a goal, but is balance...
That is a goal. That's why we sent him out there.
Is balance a good way to attain that ultimate goal of scoring points?
Yeah, well, if you can do it, sure. I think that's the toughest thing for the defense to defend is when you got to defend everything. They defend inside runs, outside runs, short passes, intermediate passes, deep passes, screens, reverses. If you can make a lot of things work, then it's hard for a defense to say, well, we're going to take this away because there's so many other things that are a problem. But on the other hand, if you could do something real well and you can just keep doing it or do a couple things real well, you don't have to do 20 things well. Sometimes you do two or things well, then they complement each other, then that's hard for a defense to stop too. So, it isn't all about how many things you can do. It's basically about how many things you can do well. But, I think in this league, if you can only do one thing well, it's going to be hard against, NFL defenses to make that go very far. It might get you a little ways, but sooner or later, somebody's going to be able to handle it, and then you got to have something else.
Increased consistency. You mentioned that with Devin, you saw things in August, you didn't see in May, you've seen things now, with your running game and whether it be blocking schemes or execution
and running backs. I think there's some things that are better. Some things that have definitely improved. A lot of our techniques have improved. Still, it's a different matchup each week, if you're fundamentally doing things well, that's a huge start. That goes a long way. And then you still have to execute it against the particular scheme and the players that your next opponent, what they use. So, that's a new challenge every week. So whether you did a good or not so good the week before, it's really a new week. But if you're doing things fundamentally well, your footwork, your techniques, your leverage, your blocking position and all, then there's a pretty good chance that good things are going to happen. And if you're doing it bad, then there's almost no chance that anything good's going to happen. So you've got to get that, you've got to get those fundamentals and techniques, as perfect as you can on a consistent basis if you're going to have any kind of success, and be able to sustain it. Otherwise, you luck into a play every now and then, but that, usually doesn't last if you don't consistently do things well.
Coach, what do you see from Dominican Sue? Is he already playing at maybe above a league level?
first guy picked, so I don't know what, you know, it was taken pretty high. So, but he's a good player. Yeah, he's a real good player. He's strong. He's very athletic. I mean, he's a big man. He's a very powerful man. But he's athletic. He runs well. He's got good feet. You know, gets over and around things easily. But he's very strong. He's an explosive guy. So yeah, he's a good player. He's got a great future ahead of him. Plays hard. You know, I think there's a lot to like about him. I would see him as two different players. I mean, both good players, but they're different. I think there's a lot of differences.
What do you think about their offensive weapons in general? They seem to have some receivers.
They have a real good offensive weapons. I mean, you know, both quarterbacks are good. They've both been productive. The tight ends have got good depth at that position. Running backs, I mean, they're all very good in the passing game. They're elusive. They're quick. They're hard to tackle. They make a lot of plays in space. And the receivers are, for the most part, big. They're physical guys. They're hard to match up against. I mean, Burleson's a good slot receiver. But they use all those guys. I mean, guys like Logan and all that don't play all that much, but, you know, they sprinkle them in, get some plays out of them. So, yeah, I think they do a real good job throwing the ball. They, you know, do a good job in the running game with their backs in terms of when they can get them in space. When they have a little space to work with, they're tough to tackle, and they're, you know, they use some of their running or some of their passing plays like running plays. So it's, I know it goes on as passing yardage, but it's throws behind the line of scrimmage like screens and, you know, wide routes and checkdowns and things like that. So they're effective at doing those things. And I think they got a real good group of skill players. I mean, Best has certainly been a, you know, good addition to their team. But I mean, really all their backs are, you know, I mean, Morris was very productive last week for them, you know, against Dallas. They got a good group.
Calvin Johnson, instead of Randy Moss, is he similar to Brandon Marshall? Was he his own unique player? He just seems like no one else
really. I would say more similar to Marshall than Moss. Yeah.
How is he different from Randy?
I mean, I'd just say they're totally different players. How are they the same? They're both tall.
When he's covered, he's not covered. The guy
yeah, no, he's never covered. Yeah, he's never covered. I mean, the play against Green Bay, there's 10 seconds to go in the half. Woodson's on him. The safety's over the top. They throw it up to him. He goes up for a touchdown and gets it. I mean, it's, you know, look like Shaquille O'Neal going up for a rebound against two point guards. I mean, it just, you know, he's right. He's never covered. He's never covered. There's always an opportunity somewhere, you know, but he's got such a great catching radius. He's so big that, you know, he can catch the ball in such a wide amount of space that, you know, if the quarterback puts it where the defender can't reach it, and this guy's got great hands. He's got tremendous ball skills. Yeah, I would say he's definitely not covered even when he's covered. Got to worry about it. And they have a lot of confidence in him, and they should. I mean, they throw some balls to him that you look at and say, wow, it's pretty tight coverage. I don't know if he should be throwing it there. And then he comes up with the catch, and, you know, you understand why. I don't want to say the ball's being forced in there. It's tight coverage, but it isn't good enough because he's got really good ball skills, and he's a big target. He's an impressive player.
Even if being tall is their only similarity, do you think that your guys have, you know, have benefited from at least practicing against Randy from the time that he was here?
We benefit from practicing against everybody. I mean, we have a good group of receivers, and we have a good group of defensive backs, and those guys compete against each other every day. And you cover different types of players. And as a receiver, you go against different types of corners. Some guys are faster, some guys are quicker, some guys are more physical, some guys are more instinctive. Some, you know, they play techniques a little differently. So, yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about training camp and about doing one-on-one drills, whether it's pass protection and pass rush or one-on-one pass coverage and pass defense. You match up against a lot of different type of players, and ultimately over the course of the year you'll see players like that sooner or later. You know, big receivers, short receivers, fast receivers, quick receivers, receivers that run real good routes, receivers that just use their speed and try to get open, receivers that are real physical and knock you around. I mean, we see all that over the course of the year. So you definitely benefit from practicing against different players, players with different skill sets.
A couple final questions. The last week you guys had three corners to the game, and it looked like Chung was playing some of the star position. How did you hold up there?
You were at the game. So, you know, they threw, you know, sometimes we were good in pass defense. Sometimes we had trouble. I mean, Colts had a great passing attack, and no question about that. They had a great quarterback, great receivers. So, you know, at times we were okay. At times we had trouble.
What kind of advantage is it to have a safety that can do that? Obviously, there's a lot of versatility
for Sean. Yeah, well, sure it is. I mean, you know, one of the problems with the Colts is you can't substitute. So whoever you put out there, you got to live with until you don't know when. I mean, either you take a timeout or, you know, there's some kind of stoppage in play, or a guy gets tackled over on your sideline or something. So, you know, when you play the Colts, you're in a whole different ball game because you don't really have the ability to substitute like you do in a lot of other games, let's put it that way. So, you know, that's a whole different, defensively, it's a whole different game planning and, you know, strategical decision because of the way and the style that they play. But, you know, Patrick is versatile. He does a lot of things for us. You know, he can play in a deep part of the field, can play zone coverage, play man-to-man coverage, good blitzer, you know, plays in the kicking game. So he has a lot of skills that help us. Smart kid, works hard. So, you know, he's got a lot going for him. All right, thanks.
All right, that's Patriot head coach Bill Belichick earlier today at his press conference. We'll hear from Tom Brady in about a half an hour from now. I'm going to take a quick break. Again, it's Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. I also have my Facebook page up, and you can certainly post something to the wall, and I will have it up there, and I will read it as many as I can over the next 45 minutes or so. And also, Terrell Owens has opened his big, fat, stupid mouth again. I'll tell you what he said when we come back on Patriots.com right after this.
Pete Shepard. Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Woodhead takes the handoff to the left side, slithers to the right, first down at the 30, cuts inside the 25, on his feet at the 20, turning outside, 15, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown!
Oh, what a run. What
spectacular,
a run.
36-yard touchdown run.
Sorry I overwhelmed you with that one.
Wow. Jeez. Anyway, again, part of my new nickname for that unit, I mean, Deion Branch, Wes Welker, and Danny Woodhead, the Lilliputian unit is what I'm calling them. They are the big little three. The Celtics have their big three or big four now with Rondo, but they certainly have actually big five with Shaq, really. They're just big. But the Patriots have their own big three, and none of them are over 5'10". I don't think any of them are over 5'8", to be honest with you. But we'll go with 5'10", being the tall order there, and they are getting the job done. Again, those three, 16 out of Brady's 19 pass completions, those three had 16 of them on Sunday in their win over Indianapolis Colts to get ready for the Turkey Day game against the Detroit Lions. You heard from Bill Belichick. That's right. We're going to have my gobble show tomorrow. And boy, I got a lot of people to gobble at, good and bad. It's good gobbles and bad gobbles, but it's my 46th or 47th straight gobble show I've done in broadcasting.
I'm pretty excited that we have even that
though I'm
sound
only,
effect.
Even though I'm only 43, I've actually had 3 years.
I'm glad that you brought the gobble to Patriots.com radio.
Yeah, that's great. And
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. And, tough to come up with that sound effect too.
We actually have a short gobble, which I've been giving you, and then we have the long gobble.
Yeah, well, we're going to use both because there is a difference between the short and long gobble as far as when I give out my awards tomorrow.
There's
the dumbass gobble, which I'm going to give a gobble right now to Terrell Owens.
That's the long gobble.
That's a good one. Terrell Owens today said that remember the Bengals. How does Marvin Lewis still have a job, by the way?
It's my quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. The Jets get to face the Bengals on Sunday night, which really isn't going to be a good game because I think the Jets are going to kill them because that Bengals team is just ridiculous. And how Marvin Lewis has a job is beyond me. I mean, Childress should have got fired 4 weeks ago. He got fired yesterday.
Trade me. Release me.
So more words of wisdom from Terrell Owens. Again, reading from the ESPN.com story. Darrelle Revis, an average cornerback. Terrell Owens thinks so. Adding another layer to a rivalry that started building a year ago. Owens evidently stung that Revis once called him, quote, a slouch. Fired back today, painting the Jet star as a one-year wonder and media creation. Oh, my God. If that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is. A media creation? You with that dumb television show you have with Ocho Cinco? Please. He says, quote, just an average corner to me, the Bengals wide receiver told reporters in Cincy. Everybody has assessed his abilities as far as what he did last year. Shut down corner this and that. He did very well last year, but I think I'm looking forward to the challenge just like he's looking forward to the challenge. Revis refused to engage in a war of the words with Owens, telling ESPNNewYork.com, quote, I'll see him on Thursday night. Everybody knows T.O. He's going to be T.O. And, of course, they will meet Thursday night along with Chad Ochocinco. And I give Revis credit for not getting involved in such sophomoric exchanges in the professional level. So I don't know how Terrell Owens can rip anybody with that performance and the Buffalo freaking Bills, who all of a sudden looked like Don Coryell's Air Chargers from the 80s, coming down back from, what, three touchdowns down and absolutely destroying the Bengals in Cincinnati. I mean, that is embarrassing. How does Marvin Lewis still have a job? How is that possible? You talk about teams that have underachieved. I mean, they stink. They are terrible. You have a three-touchdown lead against the Buffalo Bills and you get killed? Oh, my goodness. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just don't get it. I just don't know how Marvin Lewis still has a job. He should have got fired so many times. He's an awful coach. It's awful. But we'll look forward to that. So that's what you get. Dallas is playing New Orleans on Sunday. That's an interesting game. That's an interesting game. You can't. The Saints finally won as a double-digit cover, double-digit favorite against Seattle. But they know they talk about issues. That team has some issues, you know. They're still a very good team. They're one of the handful of teams that could win the whole thing, as are the Patriots. Then you have to put the Jets in there. I hate to do it right now, but you have to. Certainly put the Ravens in there, the Steelers, Atlanta, Philadelphia. I'm just not sure Atlanta's ready yet. I suppose anything's possible. I think right now I like the Patriots and the Eagles. That's my. I told you I wouldn't make any Super Bowl type predictions until I saw Week 8, 9, and 10 right around there. But I'm ready to make my prediction right now. As long as Michael Vick stays healthy, I will say the Patriots and Eagles will be playing in Dallas. One team we know will be playing in Dallas in the Super Bowl will be Dallas. At least they finally won a game. Now they won two. Beat the Lions. Say the Lions really have had some tough. And this is going to be a close game on Sunday, folks. It's going to be close. And the Patriots, you know, Tom Brady not practicing today, and I'm sure he'll practice tomorrow, or whatever they're doing tomorrow. They're doing a walkthrough. I don't even know what time they're even working out tomorrow. If they are, I'm sure they have a brief. This is going to be this is an interesting time of year. And the Lions, a lot of those guys, even the current team, a lot of those guys are used to it, playing on the short week. But it's tough, and you don't know a lot about Detroit. The Patriots played them here a couple years ago, and kind of an ugly game. They won. It was a Matt Castle year, I think. They won it, though, last second. But, you know, most of the time they played Detroit, it's been pretty close. I remember the first time I ever saw Tom Brady professionally play was back in 2000. He came into the game, and the was it 2000? Yeah, it was 2000. That's right. They played on Thanksgiving Day, and Detroit just killed the Patriots 34-9. That was when Bledsoe couldn't do anything, and they just got off to that horrible start. Belichick's first year, but Tom Brady came into the game the first time ever and was not good in that game. It was not like the next year when he came in when Drew got hurt and he came in against the Jets and nearly led them to victory in the last quarter. But I remember Tom coming in and just running around trying to do anything, and they were so bad. I mean, the game was way out of hand already, and I think he was in for either a series or two. But that's the first time I ever saw Tom Brady professionally on a football field. We all knew we could do it, what he did at Michigan. But he's won. He had a Thanksgiving Day win at there. It was back in 2002. It was 20-12. Yeah, it is. And then they beat him here in 06. It was Tom Brady here in 06. It was 28-21. But I remember that game. It was an ugly game. Patriots barely squeaked that one out.
A lot of people think that that's what this Thanksgiving will be like. They head back to that game sort of like an ugly, you know, 2012, 16-13 type affair.
The thing is that on paper, I mean, and certainly not just on paper, but, I mean, Detroit's defense really against the run is awful. They are last in the league. So I don't think as long as the Patriots don't get stupid and turn the ball over, you know, fumble here like that. I mean, I really think, I mean,
they can't make the dumb mistakes that they did against Cleveland with,
no,
you know, the muffed kickoff, the Gronkowski fumble. If they don't do that, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, they should be able to win this game by double digits. But again, I think they'll pull away in the end. I just think, you know, Detroit has hung in there on the road. They've hung in there with some good teams. They could have beaten the Eagles, could have beaten the Packers. You know, they should have beaten the Jets. And this all with Stafford down. He's been banged up all year. Matthew Stafford, the kid from the quarterback. You know, Sean Hill's been okay. But they got some weapons. You know, you heard Bill talk about it. I mean, they got some weapons. You know, with Calvin Johnson, certainly the tight ends, Brandon Pettigrew, Sheffield, if he's healthy, can do some damage. It'll be interesting. It could be an interesting game. And it's not going to bother me. I won't be surprised. Here's the thing. I won't be surprised if the Patriots look a little sloppy. Won't be surprised. You're practicing a day and a half. You're coming off a huge emotional win at home against Indianapolis, and then got to go out and leave your family and go play Detroit, a team that's, you know, better than their record indicates. They really are. And I'll tell you how you know that, too, is another interesting number with them, is that despite their being 2-8, they have scored 234 points and have only allowed 237. That's only a three-point differential, which is pretty amazing for a team that's six games under 500, that the point differential is only three. Really, really is. So that's why I think this game's going to be pretty close for a while. But in the end, the Patriots are just too much talent. I'm going to tell you right now who my player of the game is going to be, and it may surprise you. It's going to be Brandon Tate. He is due. He is due. And I think he's going to run back on remember, mark this down. When I come back next Tuesday, remember this, Kevin, if you or Jason are here, mark this down. Brandon Tate is going to have a kickoff return for a touchdown on Thursday.
On Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving Day. He's going to have one.
I hope he gets
this
to gobble for it.
This is a terrible, terrible Detroit special teams team. Not as horrific as, I mean, they're almost as bad as San Diego was, although the Chargers, as I thought, starting to come around again. I played some good football. But Detroit special teams on kickoffs is atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious, like last or second to last in the league. So I think Brandon Tate is going to have one hell of a game. He's due. You know, he's been consistent, but, I mean, he's been sort of contained the last few weeks. But I think he's going to bust out on Thursday. So, Mark, Brandon Tate could be that's my MVP pick for Thursday's game. How about that? Throw that out at you. Again, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can call the Ace Ticket Hotline as well at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Read a couple things off of Facebook here. I love when people Facebook you, and I love when they start. This is from Michael. Michael King says, "Hi, Pete. You don't know me, but could I ask a favor? Please go to readusforfun.com or even the Patriots Pro Shop and check out my book, Patriots Passion, from day one. I guess it's selling okay at the stadium. It's the only book with a Danny Woodhead picture in it. Thank you very much." Okay, Mike. Well, there's your plug. So hope that works out for you. Hope it sells. Great stocking stuffer, I'm sure. Maybe it's too big for a stocking. Ken, Rhode Island says, is Belichick, first of all, he says, happy Thanksgiving from the CCRI baseball family. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate that. Community College, Rhode Island, always with solid baseball, by the way. Very good JUCO program down there. They do a great job. Ken says, is Belichick that good, Pete? Where does he rank him? Where do you rank him all time? Does he get the recognition he deserves? I think it's with Lombardi and nobody else. I think you put him right up there with the best of the best. I don't think you can't do that. You put him up there with Lombardi, Paul Brown, Don Shula, Bill Parcells, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, all those guys. I mean, you got to lump. They're all great, great coaches. And you know, I think it's, you know, to say Bill is the best of the best, you can make an argument, certainly. You can make an argument for a lot of those guys. All great coaches in their day. And some still are. So certainly he's in that group of five or six of the best of the best of all time. No question about it. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be go down as one of the great coaches of all time. And he's right up there. It's certainly not out of line to mention his name with the Lombardis and the Shulas and the Chuck Knolls and the Landrys and the Bill Walshes of the world. Certainly he deserves it, in my opinion anyway. So you can Facebook me a message here on Facebook, or you can check in with me at patriots.com. And call 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to hear from Tom Brady in just a little bit. I'm going to save my picks for tomorrow, so you can gather around the kids around 2 o'clock. They'll be getting out of school. Some kids have a half a day. Also, a lot of people getting ready. It's a big high school football day coming up on Thursday as well, as we all know, especially around New England. It is a huge, huge tradition. And me growing up in Rhode Island, of course, my mighty Bishop Hendricken High School Hawks, might be the best, one of the best teams in New England. They're certainly the best team in Rhode Island, and they're going to kill Tollgate again when they play them on Thursday. There's no question about that.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth, I will miss you.
Who was that?
That was PFW's own Andy Hart.
Oh, good God.
Very excited about his high school career.
How that? Wow, how did he do? Was he a good player?
From what I've heard, he was an excellent player.
Yeah, it probably was.
He was. He's, you know, if you've seen him, he's small in stature. Yeah, but yeah, he's a feisty guy.
Yeah, he's feisty. Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah, that's why. Believe it or not, my one regret in high school is that I didn't play football. I should have, but I was too busy playing. I played hockey and played junior high basketball. And when I went to Hendrick, I didn't play football, and I should have. And for some reason, I didn't. It's my one regret that I did not play. But certainly, a lot of my friends did, and we had two state championship teams my freshman sophomore year and my junior and senior year. We did not. We didn't go to playoffs, but we did win the states when my freshman sophomore year. But it's around. One thing I miss in broadcasting is certainly my first 8 or 9 years before I got to Boston was I was involved with a lot of high school play-by-play stuff, which I loved all over Rhode Island and in central Massachusetts. I got to call. There were some great games I got to call in my day with Fitchburg and Leominster when I was working out that way. Just phenomenal crowds and just great football. Certainly, I remember calling games, when Mark Hartzell was quarterback for Brockton, former BC player as well. He might be the best high school quarterback I ever got to call a game for. He was just phenomenal. And certainly the Massachusetts, around New England in general, is tremendous football. I mean, I'm obviously more familiar with Massachusetts, Rhode Island players than I am with some of the other states, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, because I just don't get to see them. But it is a great tradition. If you can, get out to your local football. I'm finally going to be able to attend. I haven't gone to a Thanksgiving Day game in a long time.
It's a great tradition.
It is a great tradition. I'm only going to stay for the half.
Because you got the Patriots game.
We got the Patriots game at 12:30. So
it's a tight squeeze for a lot of them.
It is. It's tough.
Especially those like 10 o'clock in the morning games.
It is. And this one's at 10 o'clock in the morning when I'll be going to on Thursday. But, stay for the first half. But I got to get home for the Patriots because I have to. I can't miss that.
You going anywhere far for the holiday?
Or? Nope. Going to my sister Andrea's having the typical thing. So we're all getting over there so she can do everything.
I talked my family into having like a buffet style Thanksgiving so we could all be near the TV.
Well, that is a big controversy.
Because
it's a huge comment. I already spoke to and my sister had the audacity to say this to me. And which I was driving the car, and I was nice about it. I didn't really, jump down her throat like I normally would. But she's like, well, maybe we can eat at halftime and tape the rest of the game. And
absolutely
I said,
not.
Are you nuts?
Yeah.
I am not taping the game.
Because
I'm not DVRing the game. Here's what I'm doing with all due respect, okay? Whatever time we decide to eat, we'll sit there. My mother and sister, we say it. My father will say some kind of a thank you prayer or something.
Exactly.
Whatever. And that's fine, and I will politely excuse myself with my gigantic plate of turkey, and I love the dark meat.
Amen,
by the way.
Brother.
I love it. With a ton of veggies, minus the potatoes. I don't do the whole carb thing anymore. I've really been good about it. I will take my big pile of turkey meat, along with my veggies, and my Diet Coke, or my vodka and soda, or both, and head into the living room and watch the game. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I can remember when they played a couple of years ago, and I did the same thing. I raced down to Rhode Island from Massachusetts, going about 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
Because someone I was with at the time was drastically late.
Yeah.
Thank God I don't have to deal with that person anymore. Was drastically late as usual. So I'm doing 100 miles an hour, literally down 128 into Rhode Island. And missed a kickoff. I got there 5 minutes late, and my sister was calling. Why aren't you guys? I was at my parents' house watching the game. I was like, "Why? When are you coming? What are you doing?" Or whatever. Actually, no. That year, my we had that Thanksgiving Day dinner at my parents' that year, and she waited. My
there
mom waited
go.
Till 3 o'clock. I'll never forget it. We waited
mom
until
loves
3 o'clock.
You.
She was great. She good. I said it because I don't want to eat till 3.
But you know how the women can be with, we all need to be around the table, and, I put all this work, and they try to guilt you into feeling bad.
Yeah, I'm way past that.
I automatically put my foot down this year and was just like, hey, if I'm coming, this is the way it's going to be.
Well, and I know it's and I like, I like the family tradition. I like being around everybody and my nieces and nephews.
Oh,
so
it's
I
great.
Love death.
It's a great day.
I love all that stuff, and
but
I love
time,
the tradition.
There's plenty
but the
of time
Patriots
for that.
Are at 12:30, and we have, I come from a pretty big Italian family, and we always have no shortage of food ever.
Yeah.
So the hors d'oeuvres alone, I know, are going to be stuffing our faces.
Yeah.
Before the main meal gets out there, I say, why not eat till 3? Wait till 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or 3:30.
Yeah.
But nobody else will be able to wait that long.
Yeah.
Certainly, the kids won't be able to wait that long. Yeah, whatever.
No, it's, so it's all compromise. About compromise.
I'll compromise.
That's what it's about, Pete. That's what the holidays
there,
are about.
I'll sit there at, two, at halftime. I say, you got to time it out. I already told him. I said, Andrew, time it out. Make sure the turkey is distant. Now, here I am. Here I'm bringing like a pie and, you know, some drinks for some people. That's my contribution. Meanwhile, my sister's, you know, slaving, doing all this freaking work. You know, while I'm sitting there demanding when she should time the turkey to be done by 2 o'clock at halftime so we can watch the Patriots. But she, you know what? She does a great job. She will find a way to get it done. My sister's a saint. She has, you know, a great husband. My brother-in-law is a great guy. I'm very lucky. My brother-in-law is a terrific guy. And 3 great kids. 2 dogs. I think they have a rabbit. God only knows what else is
it's
in
like
that
a
house.
Zoo in there.
It's ridiculous. But they do have a nice high-def TV with surround sound.
Well, that's the
which
key
is all
right
I
there.
Care about. That's all I
Plop
care about.
Plop down with your turkey in front of that. You'll
that's
be all set.
That's all I'm going to do. That's
and it's great now because there's that third game at night, so you really get the whole full day of football.
It is. And it's actually 3 interesting games. And even though, you know, Dallas is out of it, I mean, it's still going to be – it's still an interesting game, New Orleans, Dallas. And
they're their own soap opera.
And certainly you have interest watching the Jet game no matter who they're playing, even though dingbat Terrell Owens opened his fat mouth again today to criticize Revis. So certainly certainly the Bengals can make a game of it. I don't think they will. Or maybe they will for a while, but they just they imploded last week. And I don't know. Marvin Lewis is just a joke. So I don't know what to expect out of that game. I expect the Jets to win, but at least it's something to look forward to. It's the Jets playing on Sunday night, Thursday night. It has interest for if you're a Patriot fan.
Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to it.
And you sound like you're doing it upright with the whole, you go to the high school game.
Yeah.
You get to your family.
Yeah.
You watch football all day. You eat. You be with your family. That's what it's all about.
That's it. That's what I'm doing. I mean, that's what I'm doing. Then I'm playing poker at Foxwoods in the big tournament there on Friday morning.
That's
so
awesome.
Black Friday. I won't be anywhere near. No, that's the worst. No, I did that. You know, I did that one. How about the lady?
I don't know if I could do
it. You see the lady that camped out in the tent in front of a Best Buy?
I didn't see that.
I forget it was in Massachusetts. Yeah. You know what the owner did?
What?
Came out and gave her and her friend. An iPad.
Really?
2 of them.
Really?
I mean, first of all.
Maybe that's the secret.
It's probably illegal. I think you need a permit to, like,
isn't that loitering?
I mean, don't you get, she had a tent.
Yeah, pitching a tent.
You know? And,
it's gonna be loitering or something.
I mean, so you get an iPhone, you get an iPad, like a $500 thing, for hanging out at Best Buy. Camping out. I mean, I don't get. I mean, it is.
Me neither.
There is nothing.
The women love it.
There is absolutely nothing worse in life than going to a mall on Black Friday
at 4 in the morning.
It is brutal.
Yeah, but actually,
I did. I had to do it one time. I had an emergency. I had to do it one time. I think it was at the South Shore Plaza in Braintree. I had to go there about 2 Thanksgivings ago on Black Friday. I had to get. I forget what it was, but I had to pick it up that day. I don't even remember. And I'll tell you what. I'm not going to relate it to war or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, in a comical way. It was hell. It was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life, except for the time I got stuck in Mexico for 20 hours on a plane.
Oh, jeez.
That was the second worst experience of my life, was going to, in the airport. In the airport. Had a great vacation 20 hours later. That was one of the times, by the way, I got suspended from the radio station because I went off on the company that screwed me in the airport for 20 hours and whatever. I since made amends with that particular company. I won't mention them, but we made up. But certainly, when you can't get stuck in an airport for 20 hours,
you know what's cool?
You can't get answers from the people who are responsible.
Another cool little tidbit about Black Friday.
Yeah.
While you're down.
No, I'm saying, so I was at Braintree South Shore Plaza, and it was just I was just ransacked by these mad women. It's insane.
Women
are crazy.
Yeah, that one day.
Crazy, and they're rude.
They're mean and
women
angry.
Women are freaking rude to other women. You ever noticed that?
Catfights everywhere.
Women are rude to women, especially women in power. Women are rude to women in power or women who are cashiers. That's like there's some pieces of crap that these other women just think they can just walk. I sat there. I was like, hey, lady, take it easy on this poor person, you know? Some of them are elderly cashiers. Or they're doing second jobs and you hear the conversations, and I just am stunned by the selfishness. That's why the holidays have gotten so out of hand. People have just lost what the real meaning. Here I go, sounding like Linus on Charlie Brown when he explains what Christmas is to Charlie Brown. But it has just become. I'll tell you what. Thank God for the internet. I just online shop. I refuse to go into any of these stores. I absolutely refuse. I won't do it.
You.
I won't do it. You know, I'll do everything I have to do online and have it delivered to the house. And even if it ends up costing, say, 10 to 15% more online, which a lot of times is less.
Yeah.
But just for delivery fees and all that stuff, I don't give a damn.
It's worth it to save the aggravation.
Just tell me what you want, and I'll order it. I don't need the aggravation.
But while you're down at Foxwoods playing on Friday,
yeah,
it's a great sports day because the Bruins and the Celtics both play.
I can't tell you how many times that I had to cover both of those games in the same day, which sucked.
It's a long day.
It sucked.
But as a fan, it's great.
It is because the teams are good now, but when I was covering them back then,
it was
they
probably
sucked.
Miserable. Yeah.
Then Steve Kasper was there, and ML Carr was coaching the Celtics.
Yep.
Kasper's coaching the Bruins, so I'd have to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning for the Bruins. The game started at noontime. Stay there all day.
Yeah.
Do updates for, countless radio, whatever I was doing back then. Getting sound, doing all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you have to wait. The Celtics start at either 6 or 7 o'clock at night.
But
so you're that. I'm at the Garden from 10 in the morning until, 11 or 12 at night. And it's a long day. And the team sucks so bad. And I remember they used to hate because up in the press box, we'd all watch a college football.
There you go.
You're not supposed to turn the college football games on the press box. You're supposed to have the team.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to have the game on.
Screw that. I mean, it was like, both teams are getting killed. We're like, well, we're watching football. Everybody's cheering in the press box for their favorite team.
Yeah.
Texas A&M.
That's great.
All that stuff. And people have bets on the game. That's a long day. That's a long day. A lot of my friends still in the media who have to cover both of those games. It's a long day, especially after Thanksgiving because you're tired and you don't really want
to get back in the routine.
Yep. But not to be. All right, let me tell you what we're doing. We're going to hear from Tom Brady.
Sure.
All right, let's hear from Tom Brady. Of course, you can still email me at email webradio@patriots.com or check me out on Facebook, and you can phone in on the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-543-7482. It is Patriot quarterback Tom Brady earlier today.
Come on. Make this easy on you guys.
Start with the obvious. What is the biggest challenge of a short week like this, Tom?
I think it has its physical challenges, its mental challenges. So, we got after it pretty good yesterday. No one's really sure what day it is around here. Doesn't feel like a Tuesday, I'll tell you that. But, we as football players, we adjust. We do what we got to do. So, we put a lot of installation in. Trying to understand what they do well, what they don't do so well, and try to go out there and execute well on game day.
You talk about adjusting. You still have obviously a ton of responsibility on your shoulder, but now you're throwing the ball 24, 26 times a game versus 40, 45. Is that preferable to you, considering the results?
Well, I think, every game's different. So, obviously having balance in what we're trying to do is very important because we're able to run the ball. And I think when we're able to run it, that sets up our play action. And then it sets up a lot of things that we're doing. So it's always, running the ball. Anyone who's ever played this game knows that, you run it until they can stop it. So, you can control the tempo of the game running the ball. And I think that's what we've done a good job of the last couple weeks.
Can you see the...
I was just going to follow that real quick. In the past few years, it's kind of just been a little bit of lip service towards the idea, hey, we're going to establish the run. We're going to run the ball this year. And then you're icing your arm down after those third quarters. is it good to see that you've been able to follow through on that? And what's the biggest reason that you've been able to establish?
Well, we've got a... we've been able to run the ball better this year. It always comes down to we're just doing our job better, I guess. I think the tight ends like Rob and Algie are two dominating blockers. That helps a lot when you have two tight ends who can set the edge like that. And then, add Logan and Cope and Connolly to Seabass and Light. You got a very good group of run blocking offensive linemen.
And Ben's a decisive runner?
Benny's been running great. Benny sees the hole, he hits it. There's not a lot of. He's got really good vision. It's not like we're looking to run every play outside and run around the corner. So,
see that?
I did. Gotta get you a helmet.
Thanks.
What do you see from Sue and the defensive line? Everybody's talked about him as, a defensive rookie of the year, likely. What do you see from him?
Well, he's a big guy. I think he's very powerful. He gets into the pocket. Plays with a good motor, so he's tough. He's going to be a good player for a long time. So, they got a couple other guys who are really good too. Vanna Bosch, Corey Williams is a good player, and then their other end who's been out, 92 is a hell of a player too. So, that's a big strength of theirs, the way they can get after the passer, the way they can stop the run. Good group of linebackers. It's a very good defense.
Do you have memories as a kid of watching Thanksgiving Day games?
Yeah. We all do, don't we? Yeah, that was always a great day. We used to have our own football game on Thanksgiving Day in the neighborhood, and then it was to usually always at our house. My mom would cook, so yeah, great memories to sitting around and watching football all day.
When you played at Michigan, obviously going back to that state, how did that, in a way, as you look back, prepare you for the pros? Just the competition you had to go through to win the job, and you know, with Henson and all that. How much did that whole Michigan experience help you be what you were?
It was incredible. It was a great school. Academics were great. It was a great school. It was a very well-rounded school. So it's always had a great tradition, and playing for Michigan was, I'm so glad I chose to go there. I think it was very rewarding for me. I've had so many great friends and coaches over the years. It's a very tough football program, and I think that our head coach, Coach Lloyd Carr, really demanded the best out of us every day in practice, and very much along the lines of what Coach Belichick does, and that taught me a lot about competition and what it means to be a leader. I mean, that was always a big thing that we talked about in Michigan, was our leadership and our effort and our toughness. And that definitely prepared me for playing for Coach Belichick. And it's a great school. It's always fun going back there and seeing a lot of my old friends.
You think you could play in that offense now?
Hell no. I'm the slowest guy out there in the field. So. Yeah, it's a little different watching them now. Whatever it takes to beat Ohio State, not that we've done that very often lately, but hopefully it was our year.
Past business week, Tom, do you put all thoughts of Thanksgiving, almost all of it, until after the game?
Yeah, you have to. We'll have a little break coming up after Thanksgiving, so whatever's going on, we can kind of put it off for a few more days. But there's one thing on our mind, that's getting ready to play a good football team. In a game that they always play pretty well in, and the crowd will be amped up, ready to go, and we're gonna have to go out and play really well. So excited to see what this team can do on a short week, and show what kind of toughness we have, what kind of mental toughness we have. Go out there and play a damn good team.
Is it in some ways good to be on a short week, considering two big wins? The last time people started talking about this team, putting them in the top of the power rankings, which I know you guys don't pay any attention to, you guys went into Cleveland and you struggled. Is it good to kind of, hey, we don't even have time to think about what we did against Pittsburgh and the Colts, we have to think about the Lions because we don't have any choice?
Well, I mean, I think we'll just adjust to whatever they say we're going to play, we're going to play. And I don't think that's the reason why we lost to Cleveland. I think the reason we lost to Cleveland is we didn't play well. And the reason why we beat Pittsburgh is because we played well. And the reason why we beat Indy is we played well. And the reason we're gonna win or lose this game is because we either play well or we don't play well. So, however, since that game ended on Sunday night, all of our focus and energy has been on this game. And we came in Monday, it was like, we didn't even talk about the Colts. We talked about the Lions and what we need to do to beat them. And then we talked about coming here, having a good day today. So we crammed a lot of information into these 2 days. And I think, the game plan's really getting formulated still. But we're going to see how it goes on Thursday. I think that's the point. We're going to see how it all comes together and really how much commitment we have to being ready to go in a short week.
So this team really, in your estimation, Tom, has really never suffered from psychological letdowns, no matter how big the win?
Nah, Coach Belichick's our coach. He doesn't, psychological letdowns. He was on us all week. It always comes down to that. There's nothing we did last week is going to help us this week, other than learning from mistakes. And so we got to put everything into this week. And it's a totally different opponent, very different style of team. And we got to understand the things they do well and try to go out there and execute well against it.
Tom, what do you remember about that 2002 Thanksgiving game? 20-12 was the final score last night. What stands out to you when you think back to that game?
It was a very inconsistent day on offense. Teddy had an interception return for a touchdown. I hit Troy Brown on a late third down that helped the game. But other than that, we didn't do much offensively. So you got to get up ready early. It's an early game, earlier than we normally play, and it's about 48 hours away, so gotta really get excited for the game and understand what we're going into.
Totally different line of questioning. I'm just curious if you have an appreciation for what your teammate Devin McCourty has done this year, being a rookie cornerback and knowing when you're on offense going up against other teams' rookie cornerbacks, that's a tough assignment.
Sure. And Dez's done a good job, and I think he's shown he's very professional. He's very mature, mature young man, and he's really taken his role. He's improved consistently, and he's very dependable. So that's a good start to a career, and there's a lot more that goes into it than one season or half a season. Football season hasn't even started yet, I keep telling you guys, but we're not even half the team that hopefully that we're going to be at some point here in the next 5-6 weeks. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom. All right, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady earlier today at his press conference. Winding down here on the Pete Shepherd Show again. My picks will come tomorrow. I got a special show tomorrow, noon to 2. Who am I filling in for? Rook? Was that his nitpick thing? What's it called?
Usually, nitpick Tuesdays today.
Nitpick Tuesday, yeah.
I say tomorrow you're filling in for everybody because you're all we have.
It's just you and
me, Pete.
Well, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow between noon and 2.
Tomorrow will be a great show.
That would be. And we're gonna have the gobble show. There's a lot of NFL gobbles. I'll be standing out. We'll have more. We're gonna hear from Detroit Lions, our play-by-play man.
Dan Miller
will be joining us. So we'll talk to him, get his perspective, and I'm not sure how long he's been doing the games out there.
I'm not sure. We'll have to ask him.
We'll have to ask him because that's a tough assignment.
Interested to hear his take, though.
They're 4-38 in their last 42 games.
Yeah.
4-38. And ESPN has them in the power rankings. Not that I care about power ranking, that crap. By the way, I have the Patriots second, not first. I have the Falcons first, which is ridiculous. After the quality teams the Patriots have beaten, particularly on the road, there's no reason why the Patriots shouldn't be first in anybody's power ranking, but whatever.
That's
garbage. I don't pay a lot of attention. But they have the Lions down second to last, which I think is wrong. Like I said,
they played some good football.
They're 2-8, and they've only allowed 3 more points than they've scored. That tells you something.
Yeah.
You know? But you talk about, and this is how, see, I Jedi mind trick Mike. Remember Mike, I read his email on Facebook earlier. Who said, Pete, if the Pats don't have at least 4 sacks Thursday, then they don't have a pass rush. And then I went into my little diatribe about, yes, they do have a pass rush, blah, blah, blah. So then he writes back 11 minutes ago, Pete, you convinced me that I was wrong in my thinking. I'm thinking Pats 30-17. See? I have special powers. I have those Jedi powers occasionally. But, no, as I said at the top of the show, if you just look at the Patriots defense and just look at numbers, you're going to think that they stink. But if you take a longer look at it, you will see that their numbers are dramatically different in games where the score is tied or they're behind, as opposed to them having 2 and 3 touchdown leads, which they've had in 6 of their 8 wins this year. It's a huge difference. And another stat that I love here is that Patriots tough and close games in 2010. With a 3-point win over the Colts, the Patriots improved to 4-0 this year in games decided by 1 score, 8 points or fewer, and improved to 3-0 in games decided by 3 points or fewer in 2010. So you talk about being able to finish and close out games. Well, there it is. They're undefeated this year in games that are close. So they're doing something right. I mean, they always look pretty or sexy sometimes, because I think we get spoiled around here, a lot of that stuff. But they are definitely getting the job done. I'm also tomorrow, just prepare yourselves, and for the, again, emails at webradio@patriots.com and also on Facebook. Again, noon to 2 p.m. tomorrow is when I'll be on. And in addition to all the football stuff we'll talk about, we got to have an aside. And Kevin and I got off on a little diatribe about it, but I want to hear your worst Black Friday stories, because I know there's some horrible ones out there. And I know it's the biggest day for sales and all that stuff, and one of the biggest days, but, man, I think you got to be mentally challenged to go to a mall on a Friday after Thanksgiving. We'll also get into, I want to hear some great Thanksgiving football stories too from you guys, if you call in or just on or emails. Love to hear about them. And I don't care what level. I just love Thanksgiving football is just tremendous. And obviously we talked about, it's a huge high school day around the New England area, and it's just full of tradition. And I hope everybody, if you can, get out and support some high school team, whatever. Even if you can't get to your old game, your old high school, try to go to somebody's high school or somebody's close to your house, because it's just a lot of fun. Even if you just stay for a half, I'm just staying for a half. I can't stay for the whole game. I have to get back in time for the Patriots. So
It's just great spirit and great tradition.
It is. It's great stuff.
It's a good atmosphere.
It's tremendous atmosphere. And it's one thing I said. It's one thing I miss the most. The one thing I miss the most in radio, even when I was in Boston at EEI, not being able to do play-by-play. I used to love doing play-by-play. That was the really reason why I got into this business in the begin with. And then I found out that talk show hosts make a lot more money than play-by-play guys. However, I do miss calling the games. And I wish if you wanted to hear some funny stuff, I had some tremendous games called with my old buddy Mick Colaggio, who's a great hockey writer, by the way, in New Bedford. I think it's for the Standard Times, I believe, but he's got as much hockey knowledge as anybody on the planet that I know of. And he and I used to be partners together. We had some tremendous games that we called, not only football and hockey, but basketball and everything else. I do miss it. I miss calling the high school games and did some junior college games too for a little while. But there's nothing better. I used to love working Thanksgiving Day games, calling the games, high school games, and I did about I think 7 or 8 of them, and it was just so much fun to be out there, even though it was freezing cold weather. I remember one time doing Mansfield and Foxborough, and we were up, not quite in a tree, but up in the some kind of a platform. It had to be like the night close to, with the wind, like it was for the Patriot Tennessee game, that playoff game.
Yeah.
And this was at 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was brutal. And it was probably because we were up so high. It was a tape delay broadcast, too. So I got the tape recorder and the microphone, and me and my partner, who I can't even remember who it was at the time, doing the game. And all I could think of was, when is this game going to end? When can I get home? And it would end up being a blowout by one. I forget which team won. I think Mansfield won. And it was just... I've never been so cold in my life.
No, I remember being a little kid and having my dad take me to the local high school game, and you'd put the blanket down on the metal bench we had at the old Foxborough Stadium, and the blanket would freeze to the bench.
Oh, yeah. It was unbelievable.
It gets cold.
I remember being at Brown University my freshman year when Hendrickson won the state championship. I think it was against, I want to say, Cranston West, and I think it was like 6-0 they won. It was a blizzard outside. It was a blizzard for the championship game.
It was early
December. And I remember my dad coming back with hot chocolate and me sticking my hand in the hot chocolate to feel my fingers. Because they were that, even with the gloves on,
it was
that cold. No. I didn't get it to drink it. But anyway, more of those compelling stories coming up tomorrow between noon and 2. Of course, we'll have way more Patriots talk with the Lions. Dan Miller, play-by-play voice for the Lions radio, will join me in the first hour. So noon to 2 p.m. tomorrow, the Pete Shepherd Show, once again, filling in for John Rook and filling in for just about the entire staff here tomorrow. But I'm looking forward to it. We'll share lots of football stories about the Patriots, and tell me some of your famous high school stories as well. We'll have the Gobble Show. I extended it. You know, you did it on radio for years. Glenn always took the Wednesday off before Thanksgiving on the big show, so I always had that special gobble show, and we'll do another gobble show here on the internet on patriots.com coming up tomorrow from noon to 2. And I got a whole bunch of people I'm going to gobble about coming up tomorrow. I mean, there's some idiots in the NFL, let me tell you. Thank God none of them are on this team, but there are some idiots around the NFL, and we'll gobble them out tomorrow together, you and I. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, Kevin, for producing this thing. Jason's off. Where is he? He flew with his family. He's like across
he's
the country.
He's out in Denver.
He's out in Denver. That's right.
With
his in-laws. He's always out. He's always out there. They're never here. He's always there.
He likes Denver.
Yeah. Well, Denver's a beautiful city.
It sure is, especially this time of year.
It is. It's beautiful. But, I can't take the snow. I can't take the snow right
now. Hardy folks out there in Denver.
Yeah, they're very – yes, they are. They're very hardy. They're very party hardy out there. Great fans. Great fans. Anyway, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show for this Tuesday edition. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. The emails and the Facebook messages as well. Got to as many as I could, especially now that the computer just went down in here for the webpage. But it'll be back up tomorrow, I promise you. Pete Shepherd Show again, noon to 2 p.m. tomorrow. Patriots in Detroit. We will break it all down. We'll have some high school football stories from you to talk about. And I want to hear, think about this, I want to hear your worst Black Friday stories related to shopping. And I know some of them. Think about that. That's your homework assignment tonight. Thanks to Kevin for producing this thing. And that's it. Talk to you tomorrow here at noontime on Patriots.com. Have a great and safe Tuesday night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.